took my sins away.
He took my sins away and keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad he took my sins away. He took my sins away.
Sisters will sing, He took my sins away. Okay, brothers, join with me.
The load of sin was more than I could bear.
Sisters,
He took them all away. He took them all away.
And now on Him I roll my every care.
He took my sins away.
All together sing.
He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away.
Now sisters will go first.
If you will come to Jesus Christ today,
He'll take your sins away. He'll take your sins away. He took my sins away. He took my sins away and keeps me singing every day. I'm so glad He took my sins away. He took my sins away.
I'd rather is all that my hungry spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Tender care, and knowing thou lovest. trust me, I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, over mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Trust him when to simply trust him seems to hurt. Good morning, church. How are you doing this week?
Blessed.
Praise God. Awesome. Today we are going to continue the series that we have started in the book of Revelation. Over the next few weeks, we will need to pause this study until the new year. But for now, we are going to examine today the Church of Sardis, which the Lord called a living dead church. What does that mean? Well, we will find out that answer in just a few moments. As we delve into this study of the churches of Revelation, I have urged you to examine your heart, to open it up to the Lord fully and to His Holy Spirit, to seek a glimpse of your personal relationship with Him on a daily basis. This self-examination is crucial for our spiritual growth as a family, as people, and as a church. Because we have to understand God's blessings, God's warnings, which is also blessings. Be completely open to the Holy Spirit on this journey, because He already knows you. He knows everything about you. There's no need to try to hide anything from Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in this self-examination. He knows your heart better than you do. And He can reveal areas of your life that need to change. And I am not asking you to share what the Spirit of God is showing you, revealing to you. But I only want you to follow His guidance, to make any changes that He is leading you to do. This is what growth in the Lord looks like. It doesn't matter how long that you have been calling yourself a Christian. With every breath that you take, you are on this earth to grow and to grow in Him. We need to always grow in the righteousness of Christ, because if there is no growth in His righteousness, then you're stagnant. And that means that you've been holding yourself back. You need to ask yourself why, if you're there. Remember, with God's grace, we can overcome anything. We can overcome spiritual complacencies, and we can grow in our faith. Throughout this study, we have been examining the seven churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. These are real churches that existed in Asia Minor. But they also represent different types of churches that exist today. Believers who exist throughout all of history into today. Each of these churches' strengths and weaknesses can teach us valuable lessons about our own spiritual journeys. The church in Ephesus was known for its hard work, but the Lord criticized it for being a loveless church. The church of Smyrna was praised by the Lord for its suffering and its poverties, receiving also a message from Him about being a persecuted church. And then they also received a promise to receive the crown of life. The church of Pergamos had faithful members, even though they had lived in a city that was regarded as the throne of Satan. They tolerated false teachings, and they allowed sin to grow within those church walls, which the Lord described as a compromising church. And then our last church that we visited was the church of Thyatira. And the Lord recognized them for their works in love and in service. However, He had condemned them for allowing a false teacher with a Jezebel spirit to come in and to lead the people away from God's teachings. And He admonished them for becoming a corrupt church. Now, that is just a quick recap of what we have been studying. That's what it looks like to become a loveless, persecuted, compromising, and corrupt church. What's next? The title of today's message is The Danger of Sardis. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now, what dangers should we be aware of concerning God's church or even our own lives? Today, we're going to examine what a dead church looks like in Sardis. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, I am reading from the Greek New Testament, and I'm getting better at this. It only took me 2 hours to translate this one, so I'm getting better. I want you also to follow along in your Bibles if you have them, okay? And hear the words of John at the same time. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the messenger and the assembly in Sardis, I write, this here I say, I possess the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. I know the reputation of being alive, but are dead. Wake up and fix firmly the ones who remain, who are about to die. For I find not your works complete before the face of God. I remember, therefore, in what manner I receive and hear, and I keep, and I turn away. Therefore, you are not awake. I come as a thief, and you will not come to know of what hour I have come against you. But I possess a few names among Sardis, who have not defiled their outer garment, and they walk with me in white. They are my worthy. He that overcomes, I clothe in white outer garments, and not obliterate his name from out of the written book of life. And I confess his name before the face of my Father and before the face of his angels. You possess the ear. Listen to what the Spirit says to the congregation. You may be seated. This church in Sardis faces certain dangers. What do you think those dangers might be? The church was known for being a lively and healthy church, but on the inside, the members faced a spiritual dead end. Now, did you know that living as a Christian in today's world is like traveling down a road? There's always going to be some kind of signage that's going to tell you what's coming, as long as you're open to the Holy Spirit to let you know. Have you ever driven down a road and you would see a sign warning that there's a curve coming up? And then when you reach that curve, it is so sharp that your car feels like it's about to tip over or slide off the road. Now, I can tell you one road like that's down there in Susanville. You come up to it, and you better be going 25 miles an hour. Because if you're not, you'll feel it. And then you see another road sign coming up telling you that there's a curve coming. But this curve is so gradual, and it's so long that you don't even notice that you're going around a curve. I'm sure each and every one of us have experienced something like that. Well, put that towards your Christian life also, because turning away from the Lord to become spiritually dead is not a sudden event. You're not going to feel yourself tipping. It's a gradual process, like a slow drift, that we often don't even notice until we are far from the Lord. This is why we have to always be vigilant and attentive to our spiritual journey with the Holy Spirit. What causes this to happen, though? In my experience, I have seen a church that was dead, and they didn't even realize it. What was the cause of that death? It was complacency. It was routine. It was fear. It was also comfort, which is how it all starts. And then when someone steps in to revive that church, to expand the membership, they encounter resistance and obstacles. The phrase that will always get thrown out is, that's not how we do things around here. That will be highlighted. And then the members will covertly try to halt the growth. All of it stems from their comfort within that small group. Their enjoyment of unchanged routines, like attending church on a Sunday morning, and then that's it for the rest of the week. They fear growth because it might take away their control of how they are doing things within those walls. And they are threatened by their sense of comfort being taken away and what they see as it's their space to control. Alternatively, they fear spending money because doing so might mean losing what they currently have. In other words, the people appear to be alive in the Lord, but inside they lack faith in the Lord, and they are spiritually dead. And every church like this, no, every church is not like this. But I described in detail what a dead church that I have seen looks like. It's like putting a frog in a pan of cold water, gradually heating it up. The frog won't notice that the temperature is changing until it's too late. That is why we are warned in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. There are two significant changes that occur along the path to a backsliding death. Backsliding is a term in the Bible that describes a gradual drifting away from God and His ways. It's a spiritual decline that can happen to anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Even those who have been faithful for decades, it can happen. The first change is a change in attitude. One of the quickest signs of backsliding is a shift in attitude towards spiritual matters. This change in attitude can be seen in many different ways. They've shifted their attitude away from God's church, and His Spirit is what it boils down to. Did you notice during the pandemic something absolutely terrible had occurred? It was a huge change in God's church. When the pandemic first started, people were scared to attend church or to leave their homes, to go anywhere. They became prisoners inside of their own homes, afraid to go outside. Then, all of a sudden, this vaccine shows up. Many people went out right away and got it. And then they were allowed to go around the city taking care of their business. But the devil exploited that crisis. Many people started traveling everywhere, all over, for everything they could think of, except going back to church. There's a paper that the Southern Baptists put out. It's called the Baptist Courier. Very recently, like 2 weeks ago, they reported that approximately 15,000 churches nationwide have closed or are considering closing their doors today because of declining attendance and declining tithing. The main reason is that people are living away from God and are not going to scripture-teaching churches. Instead, they are attending false-teaching churches, the mega churches, because they're getting entertainment more than the truth. There are more backsliding Christians in today's society than ever before. That is why I have encouraged you continuously to connect with the Holy Spirit, to reveal which church you belong to of these seven that we are talking about. Because I don't know if you're backsliding. I have no idea, but God does. Remember, God knows everything about you. He knows your heart better than you do. The Holy Spirit knows exactly who you are and whether you are slowly drifting away from God. This building that we are comfortably sitting in is not the church. The people inside are the church. We are the church. We can hold services in the park, and we're still at church because it's us. When the people begin to backslide, then the church is backsliding. Let that hit home. Let it hit you close. Today, many people call themselves Christians. Did you know that there was a Pew Research study done, it was like 6 months ago. 75% of today's American population claim to be Christian. Do you see that out in our world? No, you don't. Because a lot of them, I don't know the numbers, but a lot of them don't attend a church that teaches the Bible. Instead, they go to a false teaching church to feel good about themselves. And they are told that it's okay to sin because Jesus loves sinners. They once dedicated time to God's church, but now they're spending all of their energy serving the little g gods of this world. They now have countless excuses for not going to church regularly. It doesn't bother them that at all that they are making up these excuses as fast as they need to. Why? It's because they no longer have a heart that wants to please the Lord. What happened to them? Day by day, as they traveled along the road of life, they gradually slipped backwards. The change was so slow that they can't even recall exactly when it happened. But now, they've traveled so far down that road of backsliding that their lifestyle is nearly identical to what it was before they received their salvation. They're walking down the street now. People are looking at them and saying, you know, I remember when that guy or that girl truly loved God. Their children are looking at them and can remember proudly when their parents once were Christians. Their coworkers highly respected them as Christians. I don't know about you, but I've had coworkers, once they knew I was a Christian, once they realized and saw it coming out of me, they respected me. They stopped doing things in front of me, stopped cursing. They stopped saying things, stopped acting a certain way. They respected God through me. If you're backsliding, it's noticeable. People are going to see it. But now these people who have backslidden, they have taken that major turn. People's perceptions of them have changed. The church that was once a top priority in their lives is now just something that they attend only if there is no family somethings to do, no sports events to watch. There's nothing on TV that's worth my time, or if they have nowhere else to be. Their love for the Lord Jesus has diminished from what it once was. They have strayed so far away from God that, like Peter, who stood by a fire denying Jesus three times, they now feel more comfortable with the lost world than with God's people. Once they were passionate about the Lord, and if they stayed home on a Sunday morning watching TV instead of being in God's house, They felt miserable. They felt that conviction from the Holy Spirit. But now, they can do without a hint of guilt. They have a shift in attitude towards God's church. And they have a change in attitude towards God Himself. You see, the backslider wants the Lord as his Savior, but he doesn't honestly want him to be Lord of his life. Now, my mentor, Dale, he very wisely said this: Jesus is either Lord of all, or he is Lord, or no, I'm sorry, he is not Lord at all. Let me say that again because I messed it up. Assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The backslider desires Jesus as their Savior, but their life shows that they do not honestly want him to be boss of their life. You see, there is a difference between the word Lord and Christ. Lord means he's your boss. Christ means he's your Messiah, your Savior. Two completely different words, two completely different meanings that coincide together in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe the Word of God to be true, but we don't follow it, we're doing nothing more than what Satan wants us to do. Because Satan knows that Christ is the Savior of this world. James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? The first sign that you observe when someone starts to backslide is a shift in their attitude. It becomes obvious to everyone around that their attitude towards God and his church and towards God's people has shifted. Now, there's another change that occurs. Change in action. When our attitude turns away from God, our actions will always follow. It's absolutely surprising how fast a person's lifestyle can change once they begin to backslide. Their attitude changes, and so does those actions. They know that it's happening. Their family knows that it's happening. Their friends and their neighbors, they know that you are no longer close to the Lord. But most importantly, God knows that the backslider no longer lives close to Him. Let me give you a Bible example from this. There was a time in King Solomon's life when everyone believed that he loved the Lord more than anything else. This man loved God so profoundly that when God asked him what he wanted, the only thing he asked for was wisdom to make good, sound decisions to do God's will. But Solomon started hanging out with the wrong crowd. It wasn't long before this man of God changed so much that he began building places of worship for idols. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 2 through 5. From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their little g gods. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, God, as was the heart of his father. And went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Two verses later, then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. That fact that a person or a congregation loves the Lord today does not mean that they will love the Lord tomorrow. Some people in this nation, maybe even in this town, does not attend church, but they currently participate in, if they were truly on fire for the Lord. Because if they really were on fire for our Lord and Savior, they would be reading their Bibles daily. They would realize very quickly that the churches that they are attending are not following the scriptures correctly, or at all in some cases. We live in a country full of so many backsliding Christians that it's shocking to see what's happening in God's house. And nobody seems to care. Today, we've become so used to seeing so much evil in our world and so little righteousness that we have accepted evil as a way of life. This is concerning when a nation reaches this point that we're at. But it's also troubling when God's church has stayed strayed away from worshiping Him properly and has become so corrupted by the world. And there's one thing that I'm always wondering for the Christians when we're seeing this happening. Where is the outrage? You'll see outrage throughout this nation for things that is sin-filled. Where's the outrage for God's people? Where's the outrage for the backsliding people who are going away from Christ? Where's that outrage? There are churches where some of the greatest preachers of the past preached God's word with power and conviction. Today, you can enter those exact same church buildings and you might hear the word of God being preached, but it's without conviction. Some of the old denominations that once preached against sin now preach acceptance and tolerance. We have ministers throughout this whole nation, and I use that very lightly and loosely, who are preaching that Jesus is not God. They are preaching that Jesus is cringe. There are homosexuals serving as pastors, even though the Bible clearly states that that lifestyle is an abomination to Him. You have people running the show in these church buildings who are blatantly disobeying God's word. How can a woman become a pastor of a church and be expected to preach God's word when His word clearly states that a woman is not qualified to be a pastor? 1 Timothy 3:2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. The bishop, the Greek word used in this is episkopos. Episkopos is a shepherd, the pastor of a local church. Or how about this little ditty from 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first half of 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Now, before anybody gets upset with me, I'm going to say this. I didn't write the scriptures. Don't get mad at me. Don't call me a misogynist or anything else. You got a problem with what I got to say? Go to God with it. Don't come to me. Now, if I'm teaching something wrong, definitely bring that to me. But I'm not teaching this wrong. These are God's words, not mine. If you know someone who is following a false teacher who is not preaching the entire word of God, who is not qualified to be a preacher, then you need to encourage that person to leave that church and to have them run as fast as they can away and run into a genuine scripture teaching church as soon as possible. We are in the end times. This is the time that they need to get right with God. This isn't a Christian show that we're giving out. But even the lost world today recognizes that religious denominations have changed based on how they used to act against sin compared to how they do act now against the same sins. The Lord is warning us right now, before he returns for his church, things are going to get worse. They're going to become so bad that it's going to be difficult to find any kind of faith on the face of this planet. Look at Luke chapter 18, the second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The answer to that question is yes, he will. But there's not going to be much of it. When a person's attitude towards God's church and God changes, it will soon affect their activities. They might still follow the same religious rituals. They may use the exact same wording, but their hearts are going to be distant from God. There is no relationship. There's only religion. This is what has happened to the backsliding church of this nation. They have formed an ungodliness that looks godly. Their lives do not demonstrate having a close walking relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Their connection to the church and religious language keeps them feeling spiritual. But it is a shallow, hollow religion that lives within them. They're doing what cults do. For example, the Mormon Church. They use the same terminology that we use, that Bible-believing churches use. They talk about God. They talk about the Holy Spirit. They might even talk about the Son of God and the Bible. But they don't talk about all that the same way that our Bible talks about it. You have to remember that when they use that terminology, they don't mean the same things that God does. Also, if a church has to create its own Bible and refuses to use God's actually holy scriptures, they are a cult, not God's church. So look at these different denominations and look and see which one created their own Bible and keeps you away from the real Bible. Those are the cults. And if you want, I can name every single one of them. Today, many churches are backsliding. And we notice this because they use the same terminology that we do, but their actions show that they are far from the Lord. Those who experience a change in attitude will also notice a change in their actions. Though they wrongly think that using Bible terminology means that they remain aligned with the scriptures. Nope. No, it does not. What does God's word say about this, though? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good. Does that sound like our churches today? Absolutely. Conclusion. I asked a question at the very beginning. What is a living dead church? The answer to that is it is a church that appears alive on the outside, but is spiritually dead on the inside. Have you ever been to a buffet-style restaurant? I know they're kind of hard to find nowadays. But have you ever gone with maybe people from work? You weren't really hungry, but you were there. So you picked up a plate and you put just a little bit of this, a little bit of that on your plate. Then by the time you got to the end and heading to your table, your plate was full. Yeah, that happens to me a lot. This is what the devil, Satan, has done to many Christians. He has shown them a little bit of this sin, and they accepted it. A little bit of that sin, and they took it in. But soon, their lives became so filled with worldly sinful things that they no longer have room on their plate to serve the Lord. What is the danger of Sardis? The danger of Sardis is a simple way in our world today to become a threat to every church. It is time to reignite our passion for the Lord. It is past time for that. It is time for all true godly churches to stand firm on the scriptures, to preach all of God's word correctly, and to live it out for everyone to see. You see, the warning signs are here. They're very easy to spot as long as you're connected to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to open our eyes to see the change in attitudes, to see the change in actions. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I need to ask everyone a question that you need to be asking yourself right now. Has Satan extinguished your light? If so, you need to fall on your knees right now. You need to get before the Lord, and you need to say, "God, help me reignite my passion for you again. For your sake, for my family's sake, I ask for your help." You need to be going to God with that right now. The church of Sardis had strayed from the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Sincerely, repent today. Return to being a true child of God." If you are here today and you are realizing that you have strayed away from God, and that your attitude and your actions towards Him and other people around you have changed, if you are slowly noticing that you are living a life away from what the scriptures teach, come forward, kneel before God, open your heart fully to Him, and ask Him to restore you to His family. Pray for Him to change your heart so that you are drawn closer to Him, to have a real relationship with Him, to reignite your passion for Him once again on this earth. Or you can do the alternative. You can let your pride take over. Don't repent. Don't ask Him to change your heart. Refuse to become a true child of God, on fire for Him. Go through your life that way. It's neither here nor there for me. Continue being spiritually dead. And then when your judgment day arrives, and I guarantee you it will, you at that point can face an eternal death. And you can spend eternity on fire in hell. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. He is giving you every opportunity in this world to come to Him. Don't let it go. Don't let it pass. You are going to be dead on this earth one day, standing before Him. Where's your eternity going to lead you? Have a blessed week.
This world of sin and others your life shall view. Be clean and pure without within. Let others see Jesus in you.
Hey-dee-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.